Time for Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company. 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan joins us. Hello, sir.
Howdy. Hey, how much of that can you play before you actually have to pay for the rights? I was getting worried.
We pay for nothing.
We have a blanket agreement with all of the licensing companies, so we could have played the whole darn song.
Right, we're a music station the rest of the day. We can do anything.
That's a good point. And listen, by the way, that playing the rest of that song would probably be a heck of a lot better than anything I would say. But
I love that song.
I know. That was a funny, an odd moment that Rich and I had. So for those of you who don't know, last week, I don't remember days.
No.
Time has ceased to have any meaning to me. But we lost Adam Schlesinger, who was, of course, one of the founding members of Fountains of Wayne. That was Fountains of Wayne. They're from my part of the world, so I guess I heard about them earlier, I guess, than other people. I first heard them, their first single, Denise, from Utopia Parkway back in, God, I don't remember when. But great band. Huge loss, and obviously you're talking the guy who I guess sort of pretended to be him.
That's right, Jonathan Schaech, who lip syncing that thing you do, right, which was written by M. Schlesinger.
Yeah, so just crazy. That's fun. Well, I guess you're replaying the talk you had, which was a great interview, as I recall.
Yeah, he was
everybody
great
out there in Radio Land. Keep listening.
Darn right.
And for anybody out there who's looking for a really good, family-friendly, catchy, fun movie, That Thing You Do is absolutely one of my favorites. And the song is mighty catchy.
Love that so much. And love, as apparently you do, around the Meehan household, the game of life. Have you been lucky enough to get that magic goat card? I love the goat card.
No. I haven't been lucky in any game we've played.
Oh, yeah.
It's okay, though. You know what I enjoy most in life? This happens with regularity. I have this sort of eyebrow cock that I do to my kids whenever challenges are laid down. And so for any like challenge or action card or anything like that, I am always the one that my kids pick to go against. So I've got to show off my disco moves. I get to show, I mean, it's just, it's really bad. You know, it's what you do as a father.
I have that same gene. Yes, it's always me.
Yeah, it's, you know, I want you, dad. And, you know, my wife gets jealous. I'm like, I'm just sitting here making an ass out of myself, and you get to sit there and, you know, do nothing.
There you go, and enjoy it. And
You're good. Yeah. But, yeah, it's, you know, we're big game players. And you know what's been an odd phenomenon, I think, in this, your prior guest, the basketball coach, of course, made this point that it's odd, you know, kind of, we keep saying in these times we're in, but you know, I'm finding that my family does less of what we typically do, and we sort of have to remind ourselves of the things we actually like to do as a family, because we're as a family all the time. So games, it's almost, you know, it was a novelty that somebody brought up, like, hey, let's play a board game. I still have Clue. I still do pretty good at that.
Yeah, I'm getting owned by my 6-year-old in Uno on a regular basis. And then I designed like I'm Robert Trent Jones, but I designed an indoor golf course that we've been playing, and the boy's smoking me on that.
Perfect. Nice.
Right.
Yeah, my that's a dangerous thing, by the way. Well played. Are you using a real golf ball?
Yes, but only a putter, so we can't do too much damage. He said.
That's very optimistic.
Hopefully, yes.
Yeah. Well, anyway, let's talk about.
Wait till we put in the windmill, then we'll see what happens.
There you go. That's honestly next is because I've been tinkering and doing all the things that need doing. Next, I think building a miniature golf course would be awesome. But, you know, hey, what do I know? Maybe not indoors, though.
No.
So, by the way, before I start in on this, and this kind of has to do, this has to do with like what I do and what we all do as a living. Your last guest, you were talking about how laughable it is that a lot of these NBA players don't have a hoop. And I actually thought that was really funny because it first came on my radar when Giannis Antetokounmpo Chris Middleton both were like, yeah, you know, we can't shoot hoops. And I found it really funny. Now, with passes given to people who live in high rises, right?
Sure.
But like, if you have a house, like I have a house. It's not a nice, fancy house that's probably, you know, achievable on even NBA minimum salary. But, like, my hoop costs $200. Now, I know that people are dealing with stuff, but, like, my wife, I'm sitting in my wife's office, which used to be my music room. Like, and we brought in stuff over, you know, because we knew that we'd probably be cooped up and would have to keep up our jobs. And I'm like, if you're a professional basketball player and you have the means to have a flat surface with a hoop, don't you think that's, I'm not saying you need one of these fancy, like, Kobe, maybe bad reference, LeBron indoor gyms with full courts. Yeah, you don't need that. But, like, buy a hoop. Although I did love the idea of Giannis just going around his neighborhood and just finding some kids hoop and, like,
yeah,
taking a video.
I think that's better that they do that.
I think it would be hilarious as long as it's, you know, socially distant. Like, Mom, Giannis is back.
But, you know, isn't his face 6 feet for most kids anyway?
I was going to say, if he just stretches out his arm and, like, doesn't touch somebody, you're probably good.
Yeah, you're okay.
Speaking of which, I got to teach my son about wingspan the other day. Like, that, you know, your body is basically as long as your arms. And then I told him how long, like, Michael Jordan's arm. I used to be best friends with a kid from Chicago, and he had a poster in his room of Michael Jordan's wingspan, and it was just gave you pause. So we're here to talk. I have no idea how much time I have left, but we're talking, and this is appropriate because we're all cooking the quarantine kitchen sort of effect. And this is our cooking with wine and beer and cider and meat month. And typically today with, you know, I hate to mention this, but this is the day I'd like bring in my beer bread. And so what I'm going to do for everybody is we're going to post that recipe online because it's really easy, and I'm sure that anybody out there could do it. So we're going to post that on our Facebook page right after this segment so that you can go ahead and taste for yourself what we're talking about, because it's wicked easy. It takes an hour, and with stuff you probably have, you know, like including the beer that you don't even like want to drink, you can just use that. It'll be great. I guess I should step back. So, as we talk about, you know, adding, alcohol into foods, again, we're not talking about pairing necessarily, but, using the booze as an ingredient, right? So, you're talking about the flavor profile, mixing with the flavor profiles in a heated situation, which can change the, you know, the chemistry of the thing. And so do you think that, you know, that the whatever alcohol you're going to use is going to enhance, change, or frankly destroy your desired outcome? I always want to mention, and of course, you know, let me know when I have like a couple minutes left. I always advocate cook with what you drink. Do not cook with cooking wine or don't. So I guess I take back what I said a minute ago. If you have a beer that's like completely old and skunked, don't use that either.
No.
You wouldn't want that flavor profile. But if there's like, you know, if you're an IPA fan and somebody left like a red ale, or even if somebody left a Budweiser and you're like a craft beer aficionado, throw that in. Like, honestly, it's still going to be pretty darn good. You'll be surprised. As long as it's, you know, fresh and quality. And it's, you know, important to remember, especially when cooking with beer, that you're talking about like very, you know, a lot of parallels. You know, beer and baking go together, you know, pretty much hand in hand. Similar ingredients. Beer blends together beautifully into baked goods because of that. And of course, you know, beer being like, I think it's what, like the third most popular beverage in the world after water and tea. You know, a lot of people have access to it and use it as an ingredient. So there's an awful lot of tradition of using it out there. So bread is just sort of the tip of the iceberg, but it's an awfully tasty and easy and sort of encouraging tip of the iceberg. So do be sure to check out that part.
What do we have for time, Mr. Haskell? Let's get an update here.
Yes.
Three minutes. Yeah. 3 minutes, he says.
3 minutes. All right, well, before I just talk about what's going on at the store, I also always like to point out in this segment that a lot of the wine recipes you may have may, especially if they're older ones, like your grandmother passed down or Julia Child or whatever, they may be using wines that you think are prohibitively expensive. Those are probably, at the time, there was a lot of sort of knockoffs that were being made. California was taking advantage of a lot of soldiers coming home after World War II, et cetera. So a lot of the things that you'll see about, you know, requires a bottle of Sauternes, a bottle of Burgundy. Talk to your friendly local wine merchant before you invest in like a $60 bottle of wine to throw into your coq au vin. Just a tip. cool. So what are we doing at Bangor Wine and Cheese to deal with, as your previous guest said, the new normal? For the foreseeable future, we are going to continue with curbside delivery, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Monday through Saturday. That's going very, very well. Of course, anybody who has questions who would normally need to ask us things, even were you in the store, please do not hesitate. We're answering questions and trying to help people as much as possible. And we're still doing special orders, things like that. So if you have, you know, something that, you know, you always get for that special someone every year, it's still possible. It's not like things have shut down for us either. It's just that we're all sort of taking those additional precautions that that all retailers that are still open are doing. But please do understand, yes, it's curbside only. I know we're a place that you'd like to kind of come in and look. We just can't do that right now. But please do either call us, please use the Facebook store page as opposed to like just texting me or my manager or anything like that. That way we can both see your questions and orders and everything. So message us on Facebook or certainly the contact us link on BangorWineAndCheese.com will also get to both of us. And that way we can serve you as quickly as possible. And for those of you asking about Sundays, well, you know, everybody needed a day to rest, and that'll be ours also for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, and watch your weekly videos for Wine of the Week, too.
Yes, please. I thank you for reminding everybody. I'm putting on not just Wine of the Week videos, but also doing some videos from home. What's Eric imbibing today? Just little things, you know, fun things. Not necessarily even always stuff that's available at the store. Maybe it's an old bottle I got from my basement or something I got from a friend or this or that. But just I try to offer, you know, little ideas, tips, and just a little bit of levity because, frankly, who doesn't need that?
Darn
so,
right.
Yeah, please just follow us on Facebook, on Instagram, and everybody, I hope you're doing well, and know that we're still there doing what we do, just in a more safe capacity.
All right. Thanks, Eric. Be well. Have a good week, and we'll check in next Tuesday.
To you both. Bye.
Eric Meehan, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street, downtown Bangor.